This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot at all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
But now that you see how personal medical decisions are, will you call for the re-recruitment, restoration of full rank and back pay for the 8,600 service members who were vax mandated out of the military?
No, I won't.
Yeah, it's just kind of appalling that total double standard from the SecDef. I don't know a decision that Lloyd Austin has made that's helped strengthen the military. And Rep. Gates is right to talk about the 8,600 who were forced out. So I was a Special Forces Green Beret who was assigned at 7th Special Forces Group in 2020. I joined the military because I wanted
Welcome.
To...
It is Thursday, 7 March, year of our Lord, 2024. You're in the War Room. It's the pregame for State of the Union, and we're honored to have the firebrand, Congressman Matt Gaetz, and a very honored guest, Captain John Frankman, Green Beret, and traditional Catholic, I might add. And we can play more of this. We'll play more of it later. Why tonight at the State of the Union? Why are you bringing Captain Frankman in? And what message are you trying to show to the nation?
As we've talked about often on this program, my district has one of the highest concentrations of active duty military in the country. And so when the Pentagon gets the sniffles, we get pneumonia. And what the Pentagon did to military families is still causing grave harm in my district and throughout the country. Captain Frankman, tip of the spear, served as a Green Beret, the very best that the United States Army has to offer, and truly some of the most inspirational people I've ever met in my life. John was serving in that elite group, and as
okay,
a consequence
hang on,
of the
hang
vaccine mandate, it was driven out.
Hang on. Isn't this, are you saying that this is about vaccine injury, vaccine excess
The vaccine
death?
Mandate.
You're just saying the mandate itself.
Well, look, the mandate
you're not even talking about. You're just talking about the mandate.
Actually,
I want to make sure you're not a conspiracy theorist on this.
Well, hey, listen, I've got tape to get you on that. Today we actually had the first hearing in the House Armed Services Committee on vaccine injuries in the military, and the physicians that were there looked like fools having to assess this data showing increases in problems with pregnant women with pulmonary embolisms, with myocarditis. I had one of the physicians look at me and say, oh, well, you know, some of these are chronic conditions. I said, a pulmonary embolism? You have an almost 50% increase in pulmonary embolisms, and you say that that's a chronic condition? Sounds a lot like an acute condition to me and everyone who's ever had a pulmonary embolism. But the mandate made our nation so much weaker.
Yeah,
I want every American to know that there are still great patriots like John Frankman who resisted that mandate, who stood on their faith and their principles.
What was the mandate by the Pentagon and in the individual services? What was it?
So the mandate was to receive the COVID shot, the COVID vaccine. And the mandate went into effect in August of 2021, but it was long before that we were receiving the pressure and the coercion to receive the shot, and we were being punished for it. As a detachment commander, I joined the military because I wanted to serve my country, glorify God. And I'm a Catholic first and foremost, spent time in seminary. So when I found out that these shots used aborted fetal cells, I had hesitancy about getting it. And I told my guys I would neither...
When you found out it was an experimental gene therapy, that's what changed your mind?
It was continuing prayer and weighing out, one, the aborted fetal cell piece, that it's the murder of the unborn child, the theft of its body parts, and yeah, that it actually hurts me. And another definition for sin is an act against reason. And it would be unreasonable for me to put my body in jeopardy for a disease I have a 99.99% chance of surviving when I already know that it causes myocarditis and it's just not needed in young, healthy people such as myself and my soldiers.
Did you have any flexibility at all when this first started coming down? You were in the Army Green Beret, right? When this first started coming down from the Army, was there any flexibility at all? Was there any way that you could put in for a religious exemption or some sort of exemption?
So I did put in for a religious exemption. And before the mandate came out, my team, being 10 to 12 not vaccinated, we had a deployment taken from us that we'd been training up for months. We had air assets allocated to us. We were a military freefall team. And before the mandate came out, because of the punishments, because of First Special Forces Command policy, they made it a requirement to be vaccinated in order to deploy. And we had these kinds of policies going on and other kind of pressures to get vaccinated. So really, there wasn't
they stopped here. They had collective
just
guilt.
A point on those exemptions. Yeah. The investigations that my office ran found that the denials of the religious exemptions were form letters. So you had these service members pouring their heart and soul.
A lot of thought and due diligence went into
and,
it.
And by the way, the
just
law
a tough
says...
Like for a tough break for a swell guy.
Yeah, well, the law says that every one of these exemptions is entitled to specific and itemized review. And that they are entitled to individual review, not to be batched together. And they got responded to with form letters. And you have people with deep faith. It's deeply founded. And they were totally mistreated and disrespected.
Was your entire unit held back from a deployment, so it was collective guilt because you wouldn't get vaccinated? Everybody, the unit couldn't go?
Myself and the team didn't get vaccinated, so we weren't allowed to go on that
deployment.
And
the team, your entire team did not get vaccinated?
The majority of my team did not get it until the mandate came out because they knew it was emergency use authorized, and therefore the drug companies would not be held liable. They had families. They were worried about, how do I pay for my family? What do I do if I'm medically injured?
After the mandate came, how many members of your team got vaccinated?
The rest of the team got it after the mandate came out.
And they still withheld a deployment just to punish you?
They withheld the deployment to punish us, I'm pretty sure, and that's based on First SFC policy. So the military, the DOD, is trying to figure out, how do we get as many people vaccinated as possible so they make it a requirement to travel to career-enhancing
schools?
Did
your team hold it against you that you held out?
No, my team was very supportive of me, and they're supportive of me now.
Even after the mandate came out?
After the mandate came out, the deployment had already – we had already lost the deployment.
Okay.
Because this
was
before.
By the way, not speaking of John's team, but let me pull back the curtain here a little bit. A lot of these guys submitted paperwork that they got vaccinated, and they didn't really get vaccinated. And they felt like because the military was lying to them that they could produce documentation that wasn't consistent with what they had received. So you can
see
how – And
I take it since they didn't get vaccinated, there was fine. Didn't get COVID or whatever.
Well, now you have the CDC saying if you have COVID, just stay home 24 hours after the fever subsides. So the fact that lives were destroyed, I worry that we move past that. And I want to reinvigorate the move to give reparations to the people who were so harmed by these vaccine mandates, and not just the mandates themselves, but the coercion that went along with it. And John lived that.
So the two things you want to do is, number one, for those that were forced out of the military or hurt by the military, forced to retire, you want to make sure they're taken care of first, right?
Correct.
They either come back to the military or you get full back pay, whatever it is. Everyone, and how many in aggregate do we think that is in all the uniformed services?
I think there were probably hundreds of thousands. So we had a drop of like 50,000 people within the first year of the mandate going out. And even though we had the 8,600 kicked out, you had tens of thousands such as myself whose careers were so irreparably harmed that we chose to leave. And now we have this culminating effect where you had the people kicked out, you had the retention issues, people leaving, you have recruitment issues, we have an unknown number of
vaccine injured. Do you believe the problem with recruitment is directly tied to how this was handled?
I think it's tied to everything. It's tied to how Afghanistan was handled. It's tied to how the vaccine mandate was handled. We don't trust our leaders, and if we're going to put our lives
in the line...
Is
there a lack of trust of what? The field grade or the generals?
I think it's the generals. I think it is somewhat of the field grade, and the generals are more culpable for this, but what the field grade should have done is they should have looked at the letter of the law, understood what their oath was to the Constitution, and pushed back, because this was not helpful in supporting and defending the Constitution.
Last time I looked, we run the House. Why is Armed Services Committee not – and why is it always you? Why is it always you that have to go out and do these hearings? Why is Armed Services not on that central issue? The rot that's inside the military.
No one has done more on this than Jim Banks. He's chaired our military personnel subcommittee, and he and I were today pounding the so-called healthcare leaders at DOD over the fact that they're cooking the books on a lot of the vaccine injuries.
You think?
I believe there's an absolute
Commander Banks thinks that.
Yes.
Good Navy officer. Navy
he has
officer.
Done a terrific job exposing
Hold on. When you say
cook
the books,
business.
That's going to set guys' heads on fire, blown up. What do you mean specifically?
I believe that the military is casting data in a way to avoid the obvious conclusion that people are suffering vaccine injuries in a few key areas. And I believe that in part because when we were asking whether or not these groups of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated were disaggregated to see if these huge bumps that we're seeing in these really acute ailments are connected to the vaccine. And they tried to tell us that the increase in myocarditis, pulmonary embolisms, various forms of hypertension, that that's because of the virus, not because of the vaccine. And yet when we ask for the just the obvious investigative step, no empirical
to disaggregate to back that.
Exactly.
There's too many stories, too. We just know that service members are injured, killed by this thing. You don't have guys go to dive school and die or maritime assessment course. You don't
the shape that these guys are in. Where do we stand in that process of taking care of those whose careers were damaged, all of that in just the military itself? Where do you stand in that process?
Yeah, we failed. We failed to put this in the NDAA, and it's the reason I voted against it. There was a lot of good in the NDAA, pay for troops, more for my district, more for the missions I care about. But I voted no because I made a commitment to John and to many others who've signed a military accountability pledge that I want to give them a chance to talk about, that we do right by the people before we go and, you know, give the next stock bump to Raytheon, Northrop Grumman.
Do you think what you're finding out about vaccine injury is also going to change the larger narrative? Because this is a
there's issue. A long road to hoe, man. Big pharma is doing everything they can to suppress vaccine injury information. And Chip Roy and I actually have legislation to strip away the immunities that big pharma enjoys. And we're going to try to get votes on that.
Talk to us about the pledge.
So Declaration of Military Accountability was signed by 231 former and active service members. You had Brad Miller on. Yes. He spoke about it. People can go to militaryaccountability.com.
He was just on Tucker the other day, too.
He was, yes. Yeah. So it's getting some traction. And basically, because the civilian leaders...
What are you guys trying to accomplish?
We're trying to get accountability. We're trying to restore the military through accountability. The ways we do that, one, people in civilian leadership, they take retirement pay away from these generals and they make sure they can't serve under senior executive service. Other way, next president puts in good service secretaries and he calls from retirement these generals who have violated the law, calls them off of retirement onto active duty so they can be court-martialed. So this is all according to the law. We're doing what's within our moral and legal parameters.
How many generals are you talking about? Just estimate would be called back and court-martialed.
It depends how deep we want to go.
We want to go deep.
It would be hundreds.
You're saying right now if we wanted to go deep in investigations, you believe for full accountability, hundreds of generals would be called back off of – or flag officers would be called back – off of out of retirement to be court-martialed? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, ultimately, you take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when you're given an illegal order, you're supposed to push back against it. And you're supposed to fight on behalf of your service members. So if you're allowing a law to go in and you're pressuring people to receive this shot that is experimental, that is actually doing physical damage to them, that's a huge problem. And we know it went against people not receiving an FDA-approved shot because the FDA-approved one wasn't even namely available.
But there's more issues than just this that you were calling back off retirement on this, not just the vaccine mandates. There are other issues about accountability within the woke military that you would investigate these guys on?
So my specific line of effort is with regards to the shot mandate. However, there needs to be accountability, and this is a long list.
Brad's is much broader than that, though, right? His is not just on the vaccine.
He's pushing for the vaccine mandate. That's what kind of our line of effort is. Yeah. But absolutely, Afghanistan, it's terrible. There has been no accountability for Afghanistan, for the Chinese spy balloon, for these mandates, for the lowest recruitment we've ever had.
We can't even get accountability for the Department of Defense losing the Secretary of Defense.
I know, but besides you, last time I looked, the House Armed Services Committee is one of the most powerful committees in all the imperial capital. You have incredibly bright and tough people up there. And it's you and a couple other guys fighting
Mills
for this.
Mills is doing a good job.
Good job. But
Banks
of course,
is doing a good job.
The same cast of characters I say, but it's a big committee. It always seems to me that it's just there to push and make sure we have a bigger defense bill, that we're going to get to $1 trillion before President Trump's second year in office for his second term, right?
Yeah, but I'm not on the Armed Services Committee because there's some big defense contractor presence in my district. I think that's why a lot of people try to get on the committee, to protect a particular program that is manufactured in their area. And for me, it's the people, because we have such a high concentration of Army, Navy, we've got Air Force, you name it. And that is my interest, is their families, their well-being. And ultimately, I know that's what serves the nation best. And they have been betrayed, and there's no other way to say it. And that betrayal is a stain on our country. And people need to know it, and Republicans need to be willing to confront it, not just with messaging bills, but by using leverage, by saying no more authorizations for new starts for defense contractors until the service members are taken care of.
I know you guys got to run. Can you just stay through the commercial break? A couple of minutes on the other side. I just got to ask you about tonight.
All right, sure.
Okay. Matt Gaetz has agreed. These guys got to run, but they're going to stick around. Short commercial break. Back in the warm in a moment.
take down the CCP.
10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, standing behind their service and their values as a company. They are an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and it's why I am proud and the War Room posse is proud to partner with them. For Black Friday, Patriot Mobile wants to give you a brand new smartphone when you make the switch today. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Let me repeat that, without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and much more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, and for a limited time, get a smartphone for free. Go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code FRIDAY76. That's FRIDAY76. Go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code FRIDAY76. Again, we're talking about a free smartphone. Offer is eligible only with the Black Friday promo code FRIDAY76. This is a limited time offer. Join me. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Promo code FRIDAY76.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, tonight the Constitution says on occasions the president should update the House, the Congress. It's now gotten to a formal situation. Give me your assessment. Everybody wants to know your assessment tonight. What can we anticipate?
Well, Joe Biden is going to try to bait House Republicans into some sort of raucous exchange, right? Remember that the State of the Union gives the president tremendous home field advantage. You get to craft.
Well, he's coming
guests
down to your house.
You get to craft. Okay. No. You get. The you are the craft. Center of yeah. attention. The stagecraft is all about the president. They have a lot of flexibility regarding the duration of this experience, the pomp and circumstance. So he's going to blame us for the border, which is really laughable. And rather than just allowing that to sort of sit as a thud, my concern is that some of my colleagues are going to raucously exchange that baiting. And what that will do is make Joe Biden look vigorous where he otherwise wouldn't. Okay. The issue is not whether some fine point of Joe Biden's policy agenda. This isn't the Clinton era. He's not going to announce a new blue ribbon commission or a new moonshot.
It's not going to be 2.5 hours
long. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People can't afford their groceries. Right. People can't afford their heating oil. So this is not a situation where we're really in a policy debate. Millions of people are going to watch this thing and they're going to say, is Joe Biden up to it? Is he up to it? And if we give him kind of a situation where he gets to look like a lion tamer standing above a raucous crowd, then we're playing into his hand. I will be sitting quietly like a Southern gentleman, and I promised my mother I would not be texting too often.
A last question. Some of your closest colleagues and the people that you think the most highly of may not be in attendance tonight. Your thoughts on that topic?
I've learned that I don't set the social calendars of my colleagues and they don't set mine.
Great answer. When can we do you have any idea where you're going to sit? Are you going to be near MTG? Is it going to be a group of
I sit near Timber. I sit the same place every time. I'm a backbencher, so I sit on the second to the last row on the center aisle. I got the mountain man Tim Burchett on one side, probably the firebrand from Colorado, Ms. Boebert on my right.
Okay, fantastic.
And we're all going to be on our best behavior.
Social media, where do people get all your stuff?
At Matt Gaetz, at Rep. Matt Gaetz. Today's episode of Firebrand, John goes into his story, how he joined the military, how that betrayal has played out for thousands of families. Firebrand, anywhere you watch your podcast.
Captain, where do people go for
you? If you want to follow me, I say follow Jesus Christ first. Afterwards, if you still do, you can find me at Johnny_Franks. That's Johnny1N_Franks. And I'm on Twitter and Insta.
Captain, thank you very much. Good luck. We'll be looking for you guys tonight. Thank you so much. Let's go to, we got Congressman Andy Biggs is with us. Congressman Biggs, thank you. Your assessment, first off, Congressman Biggs, I didn't get a chance to ask Matt this, but your assessment of how we got rolled, you're my guy on the deficit. I think the math shows we're going to have $2 trillion, $2.5 trillion on this bill that your colleagues are going to pass. How do we get rolled like this?
We get rolled like it because we don't have it. We have 70. What do we have? 85 people, I think, voted against it. Right. So that means that we just simply don't have enough people, enough horses to actually tame Mike Johnson right now. And so we got rolled on that. The second thing is we got rolled when we allowed Mike Johnson to say almost immediately after he became speaker and we started talking about budgeting, he said, we're never going to shut the the government down. We can't afford to shut the government down. That took away his leverage. And I think people like myself,
why are they such cowards? Why are they such cowards about shutting the government down? Why he promised us he was going to shut the border. Nothing in here is about shutting the border. Johnson committed to people that he was going to secure the border. He had every opportunity to do it. Why is he so afraid of forcing Biden, of shutting down the government and forcing Biden to the table?
I'm going to give you what I think are two or three reasons. Number one, he's afraid that doing something like that, he might get vacated. He thinks somebody's going to come after him. I don't believe that's the case. Number two, he's been told by the people that he has surrounded himself with that it is a political loser for us to shut the government down. And I don't believe that to be the case either. I gave him a bill that would have targeted closed down. So we kept funding certain things we had to, and then we didn't fund the rest. He liked that, but he was afraid to do it. Third thing is, he just got sucker punched by, of all people, Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. And I find that absolutely stunning, if you want the truth.
How did he get sucker punched?
He went in there and he believed whatever they told him. He believed whatever they told him. And so he gave up all leverage on the budget, which once you gave up all the leverage on the budget, he gave up all the leverage on the border, Steve. So that means that we could pass H.R. 2, but the lawless administration of Joe Biden would not enforce it. And if you want to enforce the law, that means you have to use the one check that the founders gave, and that is the most dramatic one, and that's to control the money. And you cut off their money supply, and they wouldn't do it.
By the way, we've put him on notice tonight. We don't want to see him bouncing up and down, clapping every time Biden says one of these ridiculous things where you have to be appropriate. You should be appropriate, but it shouldn't be any more than that. Congressman, where are we going to find you tonight? Gates gave us his usual location up there with Boebert and Burchett as a backbencher. Where can we find you when the camera goes around the place?
You're not going to find me there, Steve. I'm not there this year. This may be the first time I haven't gone. I've gone even when he did the delayed COVID deal and they only invited like 80 Republicans in. I was asked to come and I went. I'm not going. I'm going to actually either be in my office or be in my house, and I'm going to be commenting on social media. And we're going to do fact checking. That's what my staff did last year. They fact checked the entire
why are you not going? Is that an insult to the institution of the House and the institution of the president?
Yeah, my feeling is that he has so denigrated the office of president that there's no rationale for going. The second reason is this: I don't need to go and hear him gaslight the American people and lie to them. And give anybody the satisfaction of saying, oh, Andy Biggs was there and he must be okay with this. I am not okay with this. I am not okay with what this administration is doing. I am not okay with this move to authoritarianism. I am not okay with the emasculation of our sovereignty. I am not okay with spending us into oblivion with almost $3 trillion in national debt increase in the last 12 months alone, Steve. No, I'm not going to give anybody the satisfaction, let anybody say that I'm giving this guy the respect that he doesn't deserve. I respect the office of President of the United States because that is an institution. I do not respect the current holder.
Congressman Biggs, where can people follow you, particularly tonight, when you and your staff will be putting stuff up on social media? Where do they go?
At Rep. Andy Biggs, AZ. At Rep. Andy Biggs, AZ.
Congressman, thank you. We'll be online. We'll be checking social media and seeing what you and your staff, as you fact check Joe Biden, so he can't gaslight the American people. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Scott Bessent. Scott, you're one of the smartest financiers on Wall Street. The Daily Mail has a huge story up there today, one of their lead stories, that says that Joe Biden's going to put the billionaire class on notice. He's going to talk about a 25% tax. It's all about going after the wealthy and the super wealthy tonight. Your assessment, sir?
Well, of course he's got to go after the wealthy and the super wealthy. There are more of them since he's become president. Since Joe Biden's become president, the huge amount of the gains have accrued to the top 15% of Americans. They've never had it so good. So, you know, he robbed the working class bank and took it to the bank of the 15%. Now he's got to try to get some of that cash back.
I know you're working on some analysis, but when you say, hey, he went to the working class bank, took out some value, took out some increase in wealth, and gave it to the elite bank. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that under Joe Biden, real wages for the bottom 15% of earners, and I just mean that in an economic sense. I think the bottom 15% earners are really the top percent of Americans, and so they've lost real purchasing power since Biden has come into office, and the top 15% who own the assets of the country have never had it so good.
How can you, but didn't he try, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he try last January 23 to put a billionaire's tax in? He had a bunch of speeches about it. He made a big deal about it. This is Joe from Scranton. But then it just kind of went away. The Schumer and the crowd in the Senate, because the Democratic Party is really financed by billionaires. They kind of put up a say this is not going to happen, and it went away. Haven't we seen this movie before from this guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen the movie, but what we haven't seen is the transfer of wealth. Is that, you know, the bottom 50% between the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve, there's a toxic brew. And I call it the three I's: inflation, interest rates, and immigration. Inflation has taken away real purchasing power. Interest rates, we are starting to see for the bottom 50%, the car loans, credit card, the credit card non-performers go up, and then immigration has suppressed wages. You know, could you imagine what wage gains would have been for working class Americans if we'd had the same immigration policy under Joe Biden as we had Donald Trump? You know, is they want us to believe that somehow the one place in the world where supply demand doesn't work is immigration.
Scott, can you hang on for a second? We're going to take a short commercial break. I just want to go back through the three I's. I want to make sure people are keep that in mind tonight as a heuristic device when watching Joe Biden, if you're so inclined to watch Joe Biden. Okay, the alternative economy, the Patriot economy, Patriot Mobile, a Christian company with Christian values that support your values. They give, 10% back to back tithe to Second Amendment, to first responders, to veterans groups, all of it. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. Short break, back in a moment.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Scott, before I let you go, I just want to make sure tonight when people are watching, the toxic brew, can you give me the three I's again?
Sure. Inflation, interest rates, and immigration. They have combined to form a toxic brew for working class Americans. And when you hear that working class Americans are not happy with the economy, you should think about those three. You know, they're caught. They're caught in this. Is inflation negative purchasing power under Joe Biden? Interest rates have gone from basically 0 to 5%, obviously much more for poorly rated buyers. And then immigration, the people who come across the border, they don't take people's jobs at Microsoft. They take working class Americans' jobs. And the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, said on 60 Minutes that immigration was one of the things that pushed wages down. So, you know, everybody should think about those three things and think about how Joe Biden has helped the billionaire class.
So you've committed to us. You're going to watch the speech tonight, take notes, and we'll have you back on in the morning show and go through your independent assessment of this.
I'd be glad to. I'm also publishing a piece, outlining my views on what they call Bidenomics. I call Bidenism because it really is like Peronism in Argentina. So.
Wow. Scott, you're one of the smartest guys on Wall Street, one of the smartest hedge fund managers. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing the piece, and we look forward to having you back on here tomorrow morning.
Okay. Good night.
The toxic brew, inflation, interest rates, immigration, the three I's. Make sure tonight, if you're going to watch it, keep that as one of your framing devices. Very honored to have, I think, one of our favorite guests in here, Sabin Howard. You're back from, you might have to get a little closer to that mic. You're back from England. Tell us when you left, what's the status of this incredible sculpture?
Well, we're just rocking it at this foundry. We got 3/4 of a 60-foot-long bronze wall assembled. We got another 8 weeks and the full 58 feet, 38 characters, ready to ship it. And we will land it in D.C. for an unveiling on September 13th of this year. This is really an unheard of thing. It's a miracle that's about to happen.
Sabin was nice enough today to come by and to spend some time with the team and also to bring, I don't know if we, do we have the B-roll? Can we play?
It's going.
Yeah. Right there you see in our own studio. That is not a replica. You tell us what we saw there, because that we couldn't even lift it and put it into the war. We tried to, but my scrawny staff here, we're not manly. No, it's not enough room. We kind of came and couldn't even put it up.
I brought you today the actual piece that passed through the Commission of Fine Arts and green lighted the project.
That's what they, when they saw that was the final thing. They signed off and said, go for it.
Yeah. After a year and a half, we broke that wall down and we got through.
And so when we see those figures, those are going to be almost 7 feet tall. Those human figures, some of them are almost 7 feet tall.
Yeah. The figures are no smaller than 6'6". Some of them going up to 7'2". But here's the trick. It's like the project was like, let's make the figures, let's minimize them. And I was like, no, let's do something interesting here. We made the figures break the actual wall. So they, when you look at it, because you're looking at it from down below, you get this really monumental, heroic effect, because they break the plane of the wall. They cannot be contained. And those are like those are representative of the soldiers that went to fight.
This is both representative art, not this conceptual art. So it's, which most of the sculpting is done today. So it's representative, but it's also narrative. The 60 feet tells a narrative story. You start at the beginning and you go all the way to the conclusion, which the conclusion is a new beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So it's both representative and narrative.
Yeah, it's got many layers. It's a father. a soldier and an allegory for the United States. And it's called The Soldier's Journey, but ultimately it is the hero's journey. And so you have this soldier, father, husband, the United States, who leaves his family and goes across the ocean to fight in a land he's never been before, leads a charge in battle. And then from that, there's a cost of war where he is transformed from having had to go through that battle. He then returns in the final scene and hands his daughter, which is the next generation, his helmet. And obviously she looks into the helmet. She's looking down into the helmet. She divines the future, which is World War II.
How is it that when this is installed in September of this year, it'll be, what, 110 years
yeah.
from the beginning of the conflict? We didn't get involved, I think, until 17 or 18. Why has it taken over 100 years to have a monument done in commemoration and in honor of what was one of the most important events in American history? Because it not just triggered the entire 20th century, yeah. but it also it took America to a place. First off, it was not finally remembered for a long time because of all the casualties. And America didn't want to get involved overseas. The League of Nations was shot down. We didn't want any more foreign entanglements. Why has it taken so long?
For the history of the United States, really, World War I was usurped by the Great Depression and World War II. We took greater casualties there. And then it's the way that Washington, D.C. and monuments went, we worked backwards from the Vietnam War to this point. And this didn't come up till the last remaining survivor from World War I, Frank Buckles, appeared in front of Congress, and it started moving then. And so that was the impetus where I believe several presidents ago passed into legislation and appointed this land at Pershing Park to contain this national memorial. It's about time.
People should know that if you know D.C., right where the Marriott and the Willard are, right in that park that's become very famous on 14th Street, the monument itself will have its back to the Treasury Department in the White House and a little bit to the Willard. It'll be looking, I guess, up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol.
That's
so
right.
All the parades on Pennsylvania Avenue, you'll come and you'll see this monument in its full glory.
Correct? Yeah, this monument is It is a huge change from the way the art world and the way monuments have depicted soldiers. I went last week. I just wanted to see if I could find another monument that had such a narrative. You know, first off, you never have a narrative that tells the story of soldiers leaving home, entering into battle, being transformed by that, and then returning home. So this is a sculpture that's completely historical in terms of it's universal. It could be any war. It could be any country. And I think that's really important, because why do people come to Washington? They come to Washington to learn about the history of this country. And so I made something that is unique for the armed forces and veterans in the military, so that they will be finally recognized by something that is really on level with what they do when they enter into the service and they risk their physical being and their mental being to serve their country.
In fact, you used actual real veterans yeah. when you actually made the drawings to actually make the sculpture itself.
From the midpoint to the end, there is a soldier that leads the charge. That's the father. I began using veterans because I needed to make something that would really create a visceral reaction in the viewer. And every single one of the six veterans that I use, from Rangers, Marines, Navy SEALs, they all suffered from PTSD. And each one of those men that I sculpted their portrait and put it up on that wall, each one of those men carried a story that I needed to learn to make a sculpture that would like speak properly of their experience and the harrowing things that they have to go through. I brought in one veteran, Ricky Zambrano, who served in Afghanistan, came back, and we made a mini documentary on him with my wife, Tracy. His story, he wished to make it public, and he tried to commit suicide by swallowing 18 pills. And then something lifted him up, And he went to the toilet and threw up those pills. And from that moment on, he realized that nobody was going to come to save him. He had to do it from within. And this is why am I telling you this story? It's because this sculpture is about human beings. So all too often, you have all these things on the media and on TV. Well, it's just too disengaging for the general public unless you have, like, you know, a brother or a father that's been in the military. And then you really know the repercussions of what happens when that guy comes home. It's like they're taught to enter into the battlefield. They're not taught to become civilians. And so sculpting from these guys, I learned what it's like, and I transferred that into the sculpture so that when general public goes to see this sculpture, they're going to be affected.
How did you get this reminds me, we've talked about this magnificent sculpture in front of the Capitol of General Grant in the federal troops that defended. But you don't see this today. That was made a long time ago. You don't really see this representative art. How did you actually convince people not just to do representative art, but folks, you will be the scale of this thing is so big and so overpowering. How did you ever convince the architect of the Capitol or the Arts Commission here, how did you actually convince people? Because everything else is symbolic or concerned. Vietnam is very powerful, but it's symbolic. The World War II, incredibly powerful, but just very symbolic. It doesn't have a human touch to it.
Well, I went into this, bear in mind, okay, you've got 360 global design teams entering the contest. So we come out, we win this in January of 2016. And I was fortunate enough with Centennial Commission, because they were the driving force behind this project. This was not paid for by taxpayer money. It was like all private sector money. I was led by this man, Edwin Fountain, who had a vision of doing something like the Schrady Memorial in front of the Capitol, which is very visceral. You can smell the mud. You look at the horses that are pulling the artillery wagon with the wheels stuck in the dirt, and these guys like pushing the horses forward. It's this massive kinetic energy that's emotionally driven. So Edwin goes to me, he goes, you need to make something that when the public comes to see your sculpture, they're going to have a visceral reaction, and they're going to go home and they're going to want to know more about World War I. I need something that will teach us what World War I was like. Now, here's the funny part of the story. I didn't read a single book on World War I. When I got into the project, everybody's telling you, okay, well, I want more biplanes, I want trenches, I want horses, I even want dogs. And hundreds of people, very bureaucratic in nature, a lot of lawyers, and all of a sudden everybody's a sculpting genius, expert. And I'm supposed to field all this. And I'm going to tell you a funny story here, Steve. I go to the bathroom one day in my studio, and I have up on the wall this poster of The Last Judgment by Michelangelo. I look at that poster and I go, that's what you got to do. That's what you know. Bring that forward.
Amazing. You hang around. We got one more segment. Actually, Mike Lindell is also going to join us, I think, from South Dakota. I'm hearing that Mike Lindell really won the vote today. Saban Howard's here. A historic event is going to take place this year. Later in September, the unveiling of the World War I monument. You'll start installing it in mid-August, early August.
That's right.
Start right outside the Willard Hotel across from the JW Merritt, and was it Pershing, called Pershing Square now?
Pershing Park. It's going to become World War I Park.
World War I Park, Pershing, Blackjack Pershing. Short commercial break. Make sure a Patriot Mobile, the alternative economy, you now have an alternative phone service, patriotmobile.com/Bannon. Go there, immerse yourself in information. Glenn Story and the team. Short commercial break. Back with Saban Howard in the War Room.
Debt. You go to bed thinking about it, you wake up thinking about it. Now here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy, and without additional loans. Done with Debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt, but you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Now, here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Donewithdebt.com. Go there today. Action, action, action. Stop the worrying. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, Saban, what are we looking at? This camera, we've got a tremendous... is actually the monument itself?
Yeah, we passing through Commission of Fine Arts, it wasn't just go directly to the bronze. I came up with 18 iterations, and on the 18th, we finally hit it with this drawing. The drawing was the initial stage concept design for the sculpture, and this was a 700-hour drawing that I did as a reference that would then pass into a model that was made in New Zealand over a 4 or 5 month period. And then from that, we went to a 5 foot model that is the one that actually is here tonight.
Well, and you'll sign this to the War Room, to the War Room Posse.
Absolutely sign that to you guys.
Okay, we're going to keep this. We're going to figure out some place to frame this and put it in the War Room so that we have it. Saban Howard the Great, I don't want to damage that.
Nope, we're going to make sure.
With all my madness already here, I don't want to damage the...
I will sign it right now.
Where you're signing it? Let's go. I want to go to Mike Lindell. Come back to Saban. Saban, you're going to sign it right there. You got it?
Yep. We're going to sign it to the War Room.
Are we in St. Charles, Illinois? Is that where we are, Mike Lindell?
St. Charles, Illinois, and I'm here. I'm just getting ready to do a speech, and we got great news coming in from South Dakota. Everybody's happy. I can't believe it. Everyone in Illinois watches the War Room, Steve. It's amazing.
Yo, we love you guys. Mike, give us some good news, man. We got to sit here and listen to Joe Biden tonight. I've just had a great show with Saban Howard, Matt Gaetz, Andy Biggs. We're on a high right here. Let's finish strong. What happened in South Dakota?
It was huge, everybody. Remember, we were there 2 weeks ago at the Capitol in Pierce, South Dakota, to start going county by county to get a petition. In South Dakota, if you get a petition of 5% of your county, you can vote to go to paper ballots, hand count, and get rid of the machine. Well, they tried to stop it. The Uniparty Republicans tried to stop us in South Dakota, the blockers, I call them. Well, we won today by one vote, everybody. One vote. Wow. We get to go through South Dakota now. And we will get South Dakota, we'll go county by county, just like we are the rest of the country. It's beautiful. It's a great day for America.
And when do you think you're going to wrap up these counties? I know you got a couple ready to go right now. When do you think you'll have the counties in South Dakota wrapped up?
Well, there's two of them. I've already got the numbers for the petition, so they have to go to a vote now. We think we'll have probably at least half of them done within a couple weeks here. We'll have enough, for the petitions are easy to get. Everybody wants to get rid of the machines and go to paper ballots. But we want to get all 66 counties in South Dakota. I believe we'll have half of them within 2 weeks, having all the petitions for it. And then it's just a matter of the vote. And then, right now, the polling in South Dakota, 90% of the people want to go to paper ballots hand counted. That's our polls that have been done out there. So, which is pretty typical across the country, by the way.
Mike, we'll have you back on tomorrow. We'll talk about the company. I'll let you get back in. I want to know the folks in St. Charles want to get the speech rolling. St. Charles, Illinois, we love you. We're never going to give up on Illinois. We don't care about Chicago. Illinois, you guys are the best. The War, and we love having the War Room Posse there. Take care of Lindell, okay? Take care of my man Lindell.
Thank you, War Room Posse. Yeah.
Thank you,
War Room Posse.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. That's MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. MyStore.com, promo code War Room, 800-873-1062. You get all the special deals. Fox people don't get them. Only you get them. Go check it out today. Smithsonian Magazine, the Great War, a magnificent article about you and this sculptor. Thank you for signing this. One more time. I want to walk through the process because we want to follow you every step of the way. We know Tracy, your wife, is making a huge documentary. But we want to follow every – so to back in, September 13th is the unveiling. Sometime in mid-August, it comes and be installed, but it'll be behind a cover, so people won't be able to see it at the unveiling. When does it leave England, the foundry?
Around the last week of July. So it's, no, June.
June.
Last week of June.
So it takes four or five weeks.
It's going to be in shipping containers. So 58 feet get cut into four sections, get put into shipping containers. They ship across the Atlantic, and then they get brought to D.C. Beginning of August. We'll close down Pershing Park and then lift them by crane and install them on the park, which has already been built.
Built. And you go for your final sign-off because you left. There's still one – you still have one 12-foot segment to go to of be cast and signed off by you?
That's right.
And when will that take place?
I will be going the end of April, April 20th. And bear in mind that this was sculpting in the studio in New Jersey in Englewood in clay. And then we would ship – even through COVID, we shipped this stuff over to England while they were casting.
So the final sign-off will be sometime late April, early May from yourself.
Right. That's right.
And that's when they will then ship it in pieces. It'll be assembled here.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to get into the final you're now getting to the red zone of this, having dedicated, what, the last 4 or 5 years of your life to this?
Yeah, the four and a half years of sculpting the memorial. But prior to that, I had to design it and go through a government agency. So by the time this is all done, it's 9 years.
9 years. Almost a decade of your life.
Yes.
Worth it?
Beyond.
Why?
Because I got to learn something that everybody should do in this country. It's to be in service of something bigger than yourself.
You think this is your hope that this this memorial, this monument, inspires that in people?
Yeah, this is a project that is for people. This is not for the elite. You don't have to read a damn book to understand this sculpture. It's for everybody to understand. Anyone.
Saban, where do people go to get what Tracy's got up online, your website, all the information about you guys? We want people immersed in this. It's a big year for us, obviously many reasons, but this is one of the biggest things we're going to be covering. Where do people go?
You can look me up at Saban Howard, S-A-B-I-N, SabanHoward.com, or go look on Instagram at Saban Howard Sculptures.
Fantastic, and thank you so much. Thank you
very for having me on.
No, thank you. The audience absolutely loves it. This is what. Here's why. This is back. It's a scale that's bigger than human scale, but it has humanity in it, and that's what I think people want in art today.
The right? whole concept was to make the Parthenon not at like 35 feet up in the air, but right there in front of somebody's face, so you could reach out and touch it almost.
Saban Howard, a Renaissance man.
Thank you.
And I can tell that. I know Tracy has done is a tremendous filmmaker, and can't wait to see the documentary. So very excited. We'll cover this in great detail. Okay, I'm actually going to give, of course, I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. 6 o'clock, Natalie's going to pick up. I've got a very special show. I have to go give a speech to a group of young people that are the aspiring folks that we're putting into all throughout the Capitol to make sure we implement President Trump's policies. I'll tell you tomorrow about my visit with Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Got a chance to spend about an hour with him today. Also, we'll go into more of our case in Italy. The Gladiator School is back up and rolling. You got a taste of that at the, our Force Multiplier Academy. We'll talk about that. State of the Union, all of it. Natalie Winters picks up from here. I will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when you'll be back.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room-type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.